Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
In Joshua 24, 13 and 15, the Bible reads as is. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Everybody say, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. In other words, in genuineness, in truthfulness, in good faith, lack of deceit, with integrity, and in truth. And put away the little G-O-D-S's. And you might say, well, why is he emphasizing that? Yeah. Because it's not capital. It's not the great God, the only God. But he says, put away the little G-O-D's which your fathers served on the other side. It's on the other side. On the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day. Somebody needs to make a decision today. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And then he says, whether the little G-O-D-S's which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or of the little G-O-D-S's of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And then he says this, hallelujah. But as for me, can't speak for none of y'all, hallelujah. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, we bless you and we thank you, God, for the gathering today. We realize that, God, you have, Lord, put us all here today to hear a word from you, God. A word, Lord, that if we would just adhere to it and live by it, our lives would be radically changed. Now, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to please allow me, God, Jesus, to have your anointing. For it's through your anointing that yokes and fetters and chains are broken. Lord, let me be found decreasing as we watch you increase in this place. And Lord, when all things are said and done, hearts, minds, and souls are cleared, and people come to know you in the power and might of your Holy Spirit, and if they've never been repented of their sins today, they can repent of them and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. And God, it will be a glorious day. Because then you can fill them with the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. Everyone say in Jesus' name. Jesus. Before you're seated, I just want to look at verse number 15. And it's just the latter part I want us to pay attention to. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the little G-O-D-S's which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the little G-O-D-S's of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Before you're seated, I want to leave this thought with you. Fathers are underrated. They do have influence. Fathers are underrated. But listen, bruh, you do have influence. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, there are two words that will stick out immediately to me in this. Number one, we're talking about fathers. And two, they have influence. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect of it. Self. Now, fathers, another key word that we need to look at. But as we look at that word, we know that there are a lot of definitions that we could look at. And it can be defined in many ways. However, we're talking about a godly father right now. Nothing secular. We're talking about a godly father right now, which calls for what? A biblical interpretation or a biblical perspective of one who is the leader of his home. Do I have me one or two brothers that don't mind saying, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. You're the leader of the house. You're the leader. You're the priest of your home. You're the protector. You're the provider. And the one who instructs his children to fear God. You are an influencer for God. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, permit me to challenge those of you who are parents here. If you're a parent, wave your hand at me. YouTube, Facebook, I can't see you, but you know, wave at me. You see, if you're a parent and you're here today, I want you to look at parenting from a whole new perspective. Somebody say, he's talking about a new perspective now. First of all, let me remind you, our children really don't belong to us. See, some of y'all done got it twisted. They do not belong to you. It was God who has been so kind and so gracious enough to place them in your care. And watch this. It's only for a season. I'm watching Mr. Prescott with his little grandchildren, little granddaughter right there, and T.T. is laying down. And then there are others that are here. And right now they're sitting on your lap. But later on they'll be weighing on your heart. You see, they're just for a season. That's why you have to take full advantage of the opportunity to mold and shape them according to God's will. Now, listen, it is our responsibility. Somebody said, it's on me. It's our responsibility to instruct them in the ways of the Lord according to his holy word, to honor their fathers and mothers. And listen, we live in a day where we see children don't honor their father and mother. I'm telling you, I come from the old school. Children were to be seen and not heard. But we live in a time where children don't mind telling the parent, you better back up. Now, excuse me, I'm saved. I'm good and saved. But you only got but one time as a child to come to me that way. Because that's just not how it is. Amen. We are to respect and honor our parents. Hallelujah. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, unless thy depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. That's in Deuteronomy 4:9. Now, with that being said, allow me to say happy, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to those sitting in person, to those on YouTube and Facebook, Anchor. Happy, happy Father's Day. To all of you fathers, I give honor to all of you. I give honor to my biological father. And most of all, I give honor to the greatest father of all, Jesus. It's because of his mercy and his grace that I stand here today as a father, both spiritually and naturally. Fathers, I also like to commend you for your leadership in the home. And particularly those fathers that are brown and black. Why? Because you have been stereotyped. We have been stereotyped for so long as being absent from the home. However, the narrative has changed. Somebody said, change is on the way. See, the narrative is being changed even as we speak, because there's a group called the Dad Gang. You see, the Dad Gang is a group of dads who have organized themselves with the intentions of stepping up and showing. Somebody say, show. It's time for talking. Time out for talking. These guys are showing that we are present in the lives of our children and strategically placing our focus on the family. Amen. Making sure everybody's good. And you see, one of the greatest needs, whether you believe it or not, in our world today is for fathers. That's why I'm talking to you, fathers. For fathers to father their sons and their daughters. Yes. It's high time we accept our responsibility and duties as fathers to teach our children right from wrong. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of talk back to me. We've got to start teaching them the difference between right and wrong. Be an example. Somebody say, be an example.
Be an example.
Stop letting the rapper be the example for your child. Stop letting the athlete be the example for your children. Be an example. Children learn from seeing. The days are over with, and many of you already know that, where you say something to them and expect them to listen. Actually, what they're saying is, show me. Show me how to live right. Show me what it means to be a man of God. They're saying, show me. Those days are over with when we say, don't do as I do, do as I say do. Believe it or not, under their breath, they're saying, telling me not to smoke, and there you all puffing away. Right, telling me not to get a 40 and See, they want an example. So practice what you preach. Be what God called you to be. Teaching faithfulness. How do you teach faithfulness? You have to show them. Show them what faithfulness looks like. Teaching them faith. Teaching them that it's going to take, this is a faith walk. We walk by faith and not by, talk back to me. I'm telling you, you got to let them know. Show them how to respect and honor our God. And obey him. The Bible says obedience is better than, I'm glad I got a Bible church here today. We've got to understand we need to show them what compassion looks like. Show them compassion, love, and mercy. If you live one way in front of your people or your children, and you live another way where no one is watching, you know what? Your children will be the same way. So don't look at them cross-eyed. Where did they get it from? I was watching you. I am saying to you, I challenge you. And New Life Ministries of Aiken challenge you too, T-O-O. And most of all, God commands you to raise up your children in the ways of the Lord. I'm telling you, church is important. Somebody say church is important. I'm telling you, Bible study is important. Come on, bro. Just once a month showing up in the house is not good enough. Just showing up once a month, you can't grow in grace that way. Mm-mm. Nor can you really call yourself saved. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, what we thank you, Jesus. We done got in the habit. We don't have to be in church. All I got to do is hit the remote. Amen. And keep on hitting to it. Something I like, something that tickles my ear, and I leave it right there. But you know what? We'll move it fast as soon as they start talking about, can you send a donation? Click, let me find another station. Even there, we still find ourselves doing that. For God has said on judgment day, he will respond to those whom he is pleased with. And this is how he's going to respond. Well done, thou. Yeah, but guess what? He won't call you faithful if you're not faithful. He will not call you servant if you are not serving. We have a choice. We got a lot of choices. We have choices and the freedom of choice to decide. When you don't decide, you've already decided. Not a play on words, but it's the truth. See, there is no middle ground. You make a decision. You make a choice. So we all have choices and the freedom of choice to decide who and what you will follow. Did you know it is innate in every human to want to follow or worship something? Now, what that something is entirely, ma'am, sir, up to you. You have to decide. But guess what? It shows in your action who you serve. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a difference between serving God and participating. You really have to understand what servitude is about. It's not about you. It's not about your convenience. It's not how you feel. But when you talk about servitude, that's a whole nother level. And we've got to get to that level. Because guess what? Action speaks louder than
words.
Mm-hmm. You see, God entrusted you, me, he entrusted us with the children that we have. You have to raise them. Let me say that again. He entrusted you with that child. It came out of your womb. Now, it's not up to the babysitter. It's not up to me, mama, and pop. It's not up to the grand. Because let me say, this is really a sad, sad thing. But a lot of times we enable our children to put their children on us.
Amen.
See, if you do that, then guess what? You're going to have another one.
Yes.
And another one. And another one.
Amen.
And after a while, your house will look like my house. A daycare.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm simply saying to you, we've got to make sure they understand their responsibility. They brought that child into the world. They may have not planned it. They may have not thought about it, but it belongs to them. Nobody but them. So he's entrusted them to us. And we've got to raise them to obey him, to know him, to honor him, to love him. We decide every day, parents and even grandparents, we decide every day what sermon our children will hear and see from us. Do they see and hear you praying? That's a sad epitaph. If you live in a Christian home and you never hear them praying, do they hear you praying? Do they hear you fasting or see you fasting? Do they see you reading the word? Do they hear you tell or talk of his goodness? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for my soul, cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Do they hear you talk about God? Do they hear you talk about his goodness, and his promises in his word that he's made to us. We need our men, and in particularly our fathers, to be men of valor. What is that? Well, valor, to be a man of valor, is defined in the now sense as boldness or determination and facing great danger, especially in a battle. Historic, courageous, bravery, heroic. Let me say this. We are all in a battle. Can I remind you, as a Christian, when you declared that I'm a follower of Christ, when you declared I'm a baptized believer, when you said I've got the Holy Ghost, like the Bible says, you, sir, have signed up for this battle. We are in a battle every day for our families, for our souls. God is calling each of us to a higher place in him, to a level of boldness, a level of determination. You remember Noah? Not my grandson now. I'm talking about Bible now. When Noah was told to build an ark, he didn't mix words with God. He did just what God told him to do, even though it didn't make sense to build an ark on dry land where they had never seen rain. Let me give you this visual. Imagine yourself in the Mojave Desert, desolate. Maybe a few cactus, maybe a couple scorpions running around. Dry. God says, now this is where I want you to build this boat. It didn't make sense, but you know one thing? What Noah did not do, he didn't lean to his own understanding. But in all of his ways, he acknowledged what God told him to do. So, Noah, he simply did what the Lord had told him. Noah's sons saw Noah. Somebody say the observers are watching. His sons saw Noah simply trust and obey God. Even when he was tired, even when he was ridiculed, even when years had passed, in the end, they saw Noah's simple obedience save not only his life, but the life of his whole family as well. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, God is calling you to save yourself and your families as well, to choose, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Not just in the good times. But let me just say this. It's time out for fair weather Christians. You determine whether you come into church or not. You look out the door. Oh, I see it gray. I see the fog. Man, I feel some rain. Come on now. It's time out for serving God as a fair weather Christian. Only when the sun is shining and everything is going good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I got my income tax. Coming here high step. As soon as the money run out, nobody knows. I'm saying to you, God is calling each of us to serve him, to choose, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Not just, again, in the good times, not just in inconvenient times, but at all times. Somebody say all times. Did you know that all means all, and that's all it means? All times. The decision we make in the process, somebody say it's a process. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's a process in being a dad. I don't know about you, but I was there when my first was born. I kind of missed it. I didn't have enough gas in my tank, so to say. So I had to run all the way from Broad Street to Methodist Hospital. By the time I got there, they said, your daughter is already here. But I got a chance to see my son, Terrell, born. And I'm bringing all that up is because when you are in the process and you see how God has caused birth to come, it's a process. There's teaching that comes along with it. I don't know about you, but when I was there, when Terrell came out of his mother's womb, I didn't see any instructions say, this is how you be a father. Make sure that, no, they don't come with instructions. It's trial and error. Amen. Facebook, YouTube is trial and error. We don't always get it right. Can I get me some real folk in here? We don't always get it right. We mess up sometimes. We do the wrong thing. But in doing so, there's a process. And that process refines you. And at some point in time, you become who God intended you to be. So, the decisions we make in the process of fathering our children will be brought up to us in judgment. Mm-hmm. And the decisions will be how we molded our children in raising them up. There's a scripture in Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It is a blessing to see not only first but second generations and now even third generations being raised in this church. But let me say to you, when it says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. It does not mean, brothers and sisters, that they won't start feeling themselves. It does not mean that they won't touch on some things in the world. But what it does mean is that because you were the parent you should have been, the father that you should have been, every time the church door, oh, come on, baby, we go in the chair. No, 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 we got to go. And when you train them up that way and you put something inside of them, you've got to trust the word of God that's in them. That when they go away, far away, in some of these schools of higher learning, you've got to believe that some of those professors are atheists. But because you put the word of God in them, they know. I hear you, but I can't do that. How is it? It's because you train them up in the way that should go. Now, when they're older, they will not depart from it. What it also means is that when they get out there, and some of them will, they'll get out there and they'll think, man, I got it made. Mom, pops, they don't see me. And they do their thing. But at some point in time, the word of God that's been hid in their heart is going to come back to them. And, oh, thank you. I'm telling you, I know. I've seen it for a fact. Years ago when I was in Germany and I was doing lay work there as a pastor, a beautiful young lady came through the doors. She was just broken and crying. I didn't know anything about her, but she shared with me afterwards. She said, God has been dealing with me. I'm a backslider. My mom and my dad, they brought me up in the way I should go. And I got crazy and stepped out there. But she said, I'm here now. That young lady sat at that altar and cried until she met the Lord again. See, I'm saying to you, train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart. Now, I'm almost done. As we look back at our text, we find Joshua recalling to Israel how God had been with them throughout their existence. Go, you don't believe me? Chronicle the lives of the children of Israel. God had always been there with them. Always. So he began to go back throughout their existence, and he's seeing that and how he had made a way out of no way. You remember, God said to Moses, why are you talking to me? Why are you crying to me? What's that you got in your hand? is a rod. Well, you know this situation. They're at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is behind them. To the right and the left are mountain terrains, and in front of them is the Red Sea. How many of you know God will make a way out of no way in the midst of your Red Sea situation? Oh, yes, he will. He'll part it for you so you can walk over on dry ground. So we find him there doing just that. Yes, he can do that. Brought back all of those things to Joshua's remembrance. And how he had again been there for them. And after recalling God's goodness unto them, he put it this way. After all of the options were set before him, you can choose this day to serve the little gods that your fathers worshiped on the other side. And see, some of y'all, your parents may have not been saved. They were on the other side. But you chose not to. Or the little gods of the Amorites, where you are presently. See, somebody right now, you're not saved, and you need to get saved. And then he goes on to say, but you laid all of these things out. So he put it this way. After laying these options out, you put them before me, and whom I could serve. And this is what Joshua said. But as for me, I can only speak for me now. See, as the pastor of New Life Ministries of Man, I can't speak for you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen, in my closing, there was a Christian movie out not too long ago called Courageous. Anybody ever heard of that movie? Courageous. When you get a chance, please check it out. Well, in that movie, it was geared toward encouraging men to step up. Somebody say, step up. It's time to step up. It was encouraging them to step up and be the godly men God has called them to be. In that movie, it made a resolution. Now, a resolution is that which is a firm decision to do or not to do something. In the time remaining, I like to challenge each and every father in this place. I want to challenge each and every father that's watching, maybe on YouTube or Anchor or Facebook, those that are live streaming, because everybody doesn't come to church, as I said before, but they'll pick up and start. Stop right there. I'm talking to you. I'm challenging you. Those that are in person, the challenge is for you to adopt each of these resolutions. I do solemnly resolve before God to make full responsibility, to take full responsibility of my family, my wife, my children, and myself. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ laid down his life for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their heart, mind, might, and soul, and strength. I will train them to honor authority. Hallelujah. And live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will give those who have wronged me reconciliation. Amen. And with those I have wronged, I will learn from my mistakes. But that ain't none of y'all, that's just me. I will learn from my mistakes. I will repent of my sins. Mm-hmm. Pastors still need to repent. And I'll walk with integrity as a man answerable to God.
Amen.
I will seek to honor God, be faithful to his church, obey his word, and to do his will. I will courageously work with the strength that God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for his glory. I will choose this day, and I will not waver. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Can I get you to stand? Fathers are underrated. But they've got influence. I don't care how you try to put them down in the media. I don't care how you try to put them down. Fathers have influence. I take, for lack of better words, pride in saying that there are women that have tried to fill the role of both mother and father. That has never been God's design. And let me just simply say, sis, you can't raise a man. It takes a man to raise a man. There are things that we can pour into them. There are things that we can share with them that it is just the genetics.
Yes.
God never designed it. But my hat, if I had one, will go off to you. I've been raised in a single parent home, and I know what it's like for my mother to try to do both jobs. It's impossible. God didn't make it that way. He made Adam and Eve. They were to be parents. But unfortunately, we live in a world today where we have single parents. And to the grandparents and church family members that will help and just support that, God bless you. But I'm saying to you, as for me and my house, we will, no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no maybes, no wiggle room. And parents, as long as they live under your house, your roof, they are under your authority. Now, when they get grown, they need to be on their own. You know when they want to. That's how it works, and there's no harm in that. So I hope today, in Father's Day, you understand that fathers have been drastically underrated. Fathers, you do have influence. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. Father, we bless you and we thank you again for this day. For this is the day that you've made. And we're rejoicing that we've heard a word, God, a life-changing word, a word that will transform us to be the fathers that you have, Lord, no doubt, seen that we could be. Now, Lord, as we are here in this setting, perhaps there's somebody that is recognized. You know, I haven't been there. I haven't done what I should have. Bruh, the altar is waiting. God is waiting to hear from you. That as a private conversation between you and him. But I'm telling you, he is here if you desire. If there's somebody here today and you don't know him in the power and might of his Holy Spirit, you've never repented of your sins nor been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, they are here to pray with you. We have ministers, evangelists. They'll come and they'll pray with you and believe God with you. Amen. Thank God for these that are coming. As you will see oil being anointed on them, that oil is nothing but being obedient to the word of God. There's nothing special in that oil. You can go get it from Kmart. But what it is doing is that we're in obedience to the scriptures. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's what we're doing. So when you see these people come up and they're anointed with that oil, that's all that's about. And so now what we're asking you to do, if maybe you're here and you got an illness, something is ailing you, you got a sickness in your body, I'm telling you, I believe it. The doctor is in the house. Oh, yes, he is. He is able He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we're healed. So there's healing right here, right now, if you desire. So as we prepare to pray for these, we ask you right where you are, just pray. Ask God to move and minister to these that are at the altar.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.